Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Guys, this team is weak. They're not good anymore. Remember how far we've come since then?
Yep. To this.
Four right. Now.
Now
four.
They're weak because they've been celebrating for 2 days their Super Bowl title. They're running out of gas.
I'm weak. I'll admit that.
Well, the game itself lived up to the billing. The two best teams in the NFL went head-to-head, left everything on the field. The stars made plays. The unknowns made plays. And it just came down to the last play.
Yeah, the biggest play of the night by one of the most unlikely guys in a night full of that, Malcolm Butler. I just can't believe just had the wherewithal to make that kind of play with the whole season hanging on the line. Unbelievable preparation, unbelievable physical play to break on the ball and then to hold on to it. Just everything that went into that play, you can't say enough about it. But I totally agree with your first point, Freddie. The two best teams playing a high level of football against each other for 60 minutes, and the team won the game by making a play, not by the other team not making one.
And you think of how many plays both teams had to make. You know, the third and longs that Brady converted. You know, the plays, you know, how Lynch ran the ball like he had to and like the Patriots knew they had to stop. And then, you know, a guy on their team, you know, Chris Matthews, comes out of nowhere and his first catches of his career are in the biggest game, you know, in football. It was just incredible.
They kept one-upping each other. You know, it's a cliche, a heavyweight fight, whatever, back and forth. I think both teams had chances to kind of step on the other team's throat, didn't. Yep. So the game kept extending, and that got the other one. But, you know, what do the Patriots do well? Well, Brady in the quick, short passing game, accuracy, efficiency on offense, they did just that. That's how they were successful on offense. What do the Seahawks do? They run Marshawn Lynch to set up big plays with Russell Wilson making some plays with his feet. They did all of that. They lived up to their strengths and their weaknesses, I thought, on sort of both sides. And then it was just the game plans and who can stick with it longer and come out on top with a play.
Yeah. And you know, I think beyond on the field, I think this was a big win for the Patriots as an organization and their fans because, you know, they really felt put upon going into this game with the whole Deflategate and haven't won since Spygate and Tom Brady, you know, in decline. That whole thing, all these storylines leading up to this game, you know, are now gone. Just like that, with one interception, they're all gone. And not only the Patriots, but all their fans can sit back and say, okay, it's over now. Well, we've got this, and you can't take it away.
And they can finally listen to us, because this is the stuff that we've been saying for a long time. If you're one of the people that get bothered by this stuff, the best thing I can tell you to do is to ignore it, because if you don't think it has any bearing on what the Patriots have accomplished all these years, then you're right. It doesn't. So just sort of embrace it, and now you're right. Now you have the ammunition to fight back. Bart Hubick, our buddy from New York, was all set to send his tweet out when it looked like the Patriots are going to lose at the end of the game. Still haven't won anything since Spygate. Well, they've won something since Spygate. Not that this was the first thing they've won since then, by
right.
The way. This allows the fans to take a step back and say, what do you got to say now? Well, you know, what's the next thing you're going to? Because you know they're going to.
Right.
You know they're going to come back at them with something else.
And I thought Mr. Kraft kind of began and ended the week perfectly. He got to Arizona, had that speech supporting Bill and Tom and sort of defiantly telling the NFL, we did nothing wrong. And when you find that out, we need an apology. And then he accepts the trophy from Roger Goodell very quickly and turns. And then talking to Dan Patrick about how special this was, he never thought one would be comparable to 2001 because of all that was going on in the country that year and everything. But this, within Patriots Nation, I guess, this year is similar. It was, you know, fighting back against a world. You're taking it on from all places, even internally within NFL circles.
But they don't let it be a distraction.
Right.
They let it be sort of motivation.
Absolutely.
And I don't think anyone was more motivated from the noise this year than Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, he talked about sort of having to recalibrate last week, and he took it personal. And you could see in that press conference he did 2 weeks ago now, where he was sort of defending, answering questions. There was an emotional roller coaster throughout. I thought he was trying to stay on point and professional at times. Then the emotion seeped through. This was, he's a man that hasn't been under attack very often in his NFL career. He's had a lot of success. Everything's kind of gone his way. He's the pretty boy. Everything works. Well, this was a time where his integrity was being called into question. Did he cheat? Did he have deflated balls his whole career? Is this Tom Brady the mastermind behind some craziness?
Right.
And now we're finding out the NFL has nothing, basically. The more we get these seeps of leakages and stories, they have nothing. But his whole credibility was on the line, and that's an emotional thing to deal with.
It even gets down to his wife. How would you like to be married to someone and people are blaming your wife for not winning? I mean, I know that's absurd, but you hear that. You know, it's crazy.
You know what I thought of, too, immediately after the game was you opened up this segment by talking about the 2-2 start indirectly with Trent Dilfer and Steve Young and those guys. But the next game, the Cincinnati game, and the Patriots came out and they blew the Bengals' doors off. And Rob Gronkowski, after that game, I wanted to make sure that 12 looked like 12 again. Well, for the rest of the season, 12 looked like 12. And that's why the offense went to a different level, the team went to a different level, because defensively, they were actually pretty good. I mean, they had some troubles early on stopping the run, but they were pretty good defensively. Offensively, after that first month, it was a different story, and the best team won.
Well, Patriots did it all this year. Champions of the world. I might give you guys a couple days off.
This week, from the heart, we figured the Patriots' offense and defense worked so well all season together, we brought in Paul Perillo to join us. So it's Perillo's points meets from the heart. It's the perfect end to the season. Paul, I want to get right at it. Tom Brady, obviously a great postseason MVP in the Super Bowl, had a 100 passer rating combined for the three games. Only three times in his postseason career has he done that. Hasn't done it for a while. Difference maker.
Absolutely. And I think you see the difference with him being able to put the games together. We've seen him be good, for a game or for a half in the past, in the postseason, in this stretch where they haven't been able to win at all. Well, the difference between finding a way to get over the hump and winning at all is Tom Brady a little bit more consistent.
You mentioned consistency. Patriots had consistency on third down, the money down, throughout the postseason and on both sides of the football. Offensively, over 60% conversions third down. Defensively, held the other teams to 23% conversions.
It's amazing to think that they were that good on third down and found themselves in life or death struggles twice out of the three games. Baltimore and obviously Seattle, they had the Patriots. They had them dead to rights. Up 14, the Ravens were twice. And certainly the Seahawks had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter with the football. So they had to be that good on third down on both sides of the ball. And don't overlook defensively what they did against the Seahawks to start that rally, because the Patriots had the ball a couple of times down 10 and couldn't do anything with it. But the defense kept giving it back. 2-3 and outs, down 10, back to the wall, one in the fourth quarter. Really timely defense there on a night where they didn't play exceptionally well, I didn't think, collectively, until they had to make plays.
We've talked about the difference maker for years that Rob Gronkowski is, both for good and bad. When he's not on the field, when he's not healthy, it kills this offense. When he is on the field and healthy, it makes them generally a touchdown per game better. We saw that through regular seasons of late. We saw it this postseason.
You just see just how good he is, because you could see that he was worn down a little bit down the stretch.
Yep.
The production did drop a little bit. He took so many hits during the course of the season, but he's just so big, strong, and tough to deal with, even a guy like Cam Chancellor. And I thought Seattle did a pretty good job of containing him. But he finds a way to make a terrific touchdown catch on that ball, high point in the ball. The way I don't really see a lot of tight ends do that.
Patriots had two different receivers with three touchdowns in the postseason. We mentioned one, expected, Rob Gronkowski.
Trivia question, who's the other?
Not expected, three touchdowns this postseason from Danny Amendola, a guy who was quiet a lot during the regular season, got hot late in the year, became a key factor in the postseason. I think most people assumed he was going to be cut after this season, but now after these performances, he was valuable in this championship run.
Well, one of the things that I maintained all along was that if something were to happen to Julian Edelman, I thought you could get reasonable production from Danny Amendola. Maybe not, 90-100 catches like Edelman had done, but this is a guy who I think has some ability. You saw some of that in the postseason. Now the question becomes, at what price? Is he an insurance policy at the numbers that he's looking at, on the cap? Probably not. They're probably going to, if he's going to be back, Andy, I think he's going to have to redo the deal in some way, shape, or form.
Finally, quickly, turn it to the postseason. A lot coming up in the offseason. Darrell Revis, obviously, first and foremost, can you keep him? Does he stay on a new deal or on the current deal, that $25 million cap number? Devin McCourty, free agent. Steven Ridley, free agent. Shane Vereen, free agent. Steven Gostkowski, free agent. What are the priorities? Can they get him done?
Well, obviously, Revis would be at the top of my list. If this team wants to repeat next year, they have to find a way to keep him, because I think that transformed everything. It won't be at that number. It's not going to be a $25 million cap yet. But I do think that there's a lot of mutual respect there, and I think he's going to be back. And I wouldn't have said this 3 or 4 months ago, but I think Devin McCourty has become a really important guy. I loved listening to him post-game talk about this is the only true dynasty in the NFL, the New England Patriots. The way this organization sets things up, I'd be stunned if McCourty's not there.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
We're the best. You can hand us all you want to. We won. We're number one. Let's go.
Patriots Football Weekly.
brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide.
Images of the week come during and after one of the greatest Super Bowl games ever played. This first one's Brandon LaFell sneaking in between two Seattle defenders for the score. And here's that beautiful throw by Brady and even better catch by Rob Gronkowski. After the game, we saw Darrelle Revis finally getting that ring. And who better do we like to see the trophy with than Rob Gronkowski? And finally, maybe Revis got his first, but Brady got his fourth.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
It still doesn't feel real yet. It doesn't. This is incredible, man. This team's the best team I've ever played on.
You came back. You just kept on pushing the fight, man, and that's the character of this team.
Unbelievable. Dream come true. Super Bowl champ. Nobody can take it away.
You're the best. You can handle us all you want to. We won. We number one. Let's go.
Wait, they over here?
Huh? What do you say, baby?
Hey, man, we're world champions, man. World champions.
World champions. Awesome. See, I'm partying with my family. It's the best feeling in the world.
I didn't know if it was ever going to happen, but it did, and it's a dream come true.
It was David versus Goliath. We fought in there all year. We've been down. We faced adversity. Our thing as a defense was make stops. Make stops as much as we can to get the ball back to Tom, and we did.
Would you expect any different from Tom Brady? I sure as hell don't.
I've never lost faith in this team. I mean, we've come back, you know, before, like you said, Baltimore. We've been battling through adversity all season. It was almost like it felt normal to be down. Not in a game like this, but we were able to come back, thank God, and we're champs.
I'll never forget this moment. Never.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Put that all together and he carries this team to 6 Super Bowls, 4 rings.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I can't argue with this.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champs, so we all know what that means. The 2015 season opens up right here at Gillette Stadium on the first Thursday night in September. But who will the Patriots play? It's a good question. There's really not a lot of sexy opponents on the home schedule, but I'm going to take a stab at it right here. I think there's one of three teams that it could be, and I'm going to pick Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Buffalo, to me, are in the running. Buffalo's got Rex Ryan. Would make some sense there for the first game in Buffalo for him. Obviously, everything about Rex is his hatred for the Patriots makes for a good storyline. Chip Kelly in Philadelphia, same kind of thing. He goes at it with Belichick. Those two guys have a lot of respect for each other. I could see that being a storyline. My prediction right here, Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots to open the 2015 campaign.
I don't know if we just witnessed the greatest Super Bowl ever, but I will say this. I thought it was the most entertaining halftime performance in a long time. Certainly the most entertaining of the 6 Super Bowls I have been attendance for with the Patriots. I know some old curmudgeon types won't like it, but it was a visual spectacle. There was music, there was fireworks, there was flames, there was something for everyone. It was a titillating performance. Katy Perry, well done.
If there was ever proof that every guy on a football team counts, it was Super Bowl 49. From Chris Matthews' first catch of his career to starring on Sunday to Malcolm Butler being an undrafted rookie free agent out of Western Alabama University and making the game-winning interception for the Patriots, it doesn't matter where or how you get on your team. It only matters what you do when you get there. So here's to the bottom of the roster. May you rise to the top. And in the case of Butler, being given the MVP's truck for your efforts. Oh, and by the way, Andy, the only thing worse than the halftime show was the Seahawks' call to throw at the end of the game.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
We have a high-class question this week, Paul Perillo. It's simple. Whose greatness is greater, future Hall of Famer Bill Belichick or future Hall of Famer Tom Brady?
It's a tough one. It's the ultimate bar in debate. Who's most responsible? You know what? I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball. I'm going to go with the coach. I think Bill Belichick, as great as Tom Brady is, I think Bill Belichick is even better at what he does than Brady does. And I think it's because he's involved in everything. It's not just offense for Belichick. It's the whole team. He is responsible for the entire makeup of the organization, from acquiring the players to coaching them up, offense, defense, special teams, putting the coaching staff together, overseeing scouting. He does it all.
I think Brady does it all as well in a different way. On the field, we know what he does. He throws touchdown passes. He makes the offense work. Once again, we saw a Super Bowl where it was on Brady's shoulders. You had to throw it 50 times. You really had no running game. You were going to have to win that way offensively. But I think off the field, he is the centerpiece of the work ethic, the mentality, the chip on your shoulder, sixth-round pick that all these guys, Edelman and his boys, fall in line behind him, and that work ethic, and the guy who was reinvigorated and getting the parking space again. Tom Brady is the greatest winner of his generation at the quarterback position. He's the greatest player, and I'm going to say he's the greatest leader. Put that all together, and he carries this team to 6 Super Bowls, 4 rings.
You know what? You're right. I can't argue with this. I don't really feel comfortable arguing against Tom Brady in anything. It comes down to the fact that Belichick is the guy that is at the very top, and I think he puts it all together. And when you talk about all those different things that Brady does, and you're right, but Belichick is the one that sets it all up and allows him to succeed and do the things that he does best in terms of game planning, both on both sides of the ball, not just offensively for Tom, and on how you can see they can run the ball 30, 40 times in one playoff game and then throw it 50 times the next playoff game. That's the kind of coaching that this team gets. There's not just one way to do it. I think that starts from Belichick, and it's the whole program all the way down, the do your job and all this, the simplistic little sayings that we've come to rely on. That all starts from the top, and these guys buy in. He makes them all buy in, and they all understand that if they do their job, they can succeed. And whether it's Malcolm Butler coming up with the big play at the end of the game or if it's Tom Brady executing the game plan that Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady put forth, it doesn't matter. 1-53, they're all the same.
And they all buy in for a simple reason, because 12 buys in. If RG3 were the quarterback of this team, everything else would come crumbling down
because he wouldn't take
the Belichickian message and enact it in the locker room. Tom Brady, again, I'll say it again, he gets a lot of credit for his on the field. I don't think people understand his role off the field in the game plan. We know he's a coach. He's as much a coach as he is a player now.
I agree.
He's as much a playmaker as he is a coach on both sides. Boom, Tom Brady. But I will say this. It's a tough question to argue.
Well, and I'll say,
really tough when there's always two right answers.
Aside of your lunacy of throwing RG3 in there, just ignoring the fact that he couldn't physically do what Tom Brady does, you're right. It's impossible. I'll take either one, and I don't want either one of them taken out of the equation.
Nope, and they're sticking around, so it's great.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. Locked and loaded for New England's wicked winter weather. Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, it's that time of the show where we answer your questions. The last time this year.
It's sad.
Yeah, it is.
Happy.
Yeah.
They won the Super Bowl.
Well, it is, but we're sad to be ending the show.
We're being put out to pasture.
All right, you can look at it that way.
All right, Bob writes the first one from Portland, Oregon. He says, I feel Belichick is not getting his due as best coach from you and the rest of the media. I was so in agreement with him and everything he's done that I made a bet on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl the day after the Kansas City game. So does Belichick not get enough due? I can't imagine that.
I think he gets plenty of due. I think we lead the charge of, you know, after this game, best coach, best quarterback of all time, that duo. He entered it statistically with the four titles and Noel and all that. I think he is considered, you know, there's people that believe they should rename the trophy, the Belichick trophy over Lombardi. He is now thought of as one of the top one, two, three coaches in
and
history.
I think beyond his football acumen and his X's and O's, I think as a manager of a football team, which is so much part of the job, the consistency that he brings to New England year after year and having that program in place, you can't say enough about that. That's so much a part of their success. Tony from Melrose writes in, and he says, with all the talk of how bad a call it was at the end of the game by the Seahawks, are we overlooking how good a play it was by Butler?
I don't think I'm overlooking the Butler aspect of the play. It was a tremendous football play that involved everything. It involved preparation. It involved film study. He had to know what he was doing. He recognized the formation, and he knew exactly what needed to be done. He also recognized the situation of the game. You know, it's 1 yard line. If they get in the end zone, you can't give a cushion there. You've got to break on the ball. You got to be more aggressive. And then the physical part of it, to run right through the receiver. Andy likes to say he blew him up, and he did. He de-cleated.
Going for the ball.
Clear, a good play, a good football play, and then to secure the interception. The reason people are talking about the call is because it was a horrific call, and you can't overlook that aspect of it.
And Sarah from Cambridge writes in, and she says, I love Tom Brady. He's the best in the biz. But bottom line, I think Julian Edelman should have been MVP of the Super Bowl.
You can make a case for Edelman. He made a lot of great plays. He was the key to that quick passing game underneath. He turned some of those into run after the catch plays. Had a couple nice punt return catches in traffic and dealing with that area of the game. But, I mean, the quarterback threw the ball 50 times. A record 37 Super Bowl completions. I know he had the two interceptions, one of them a really bad decision slash throw, but Brady led that passing attack against the best pass defense in football, the Legion of Boom, and he got it done.
You mentioned 50. You know, Gronk with big plays, Vereen with big plays, Amendola with big plays. The one common thread, Brady threw them all.
And and much like the Ravens game, he did it after getting hit quite a bit. He didn't wilt into the pass rush or anything like that. He made plays.
All right. Well, hey, that's it for this season for PFW. Want to thank you all season for watching, and we'll see you next year.